Well, I'm going to get into the book of James again this morning, and we're going to wrap up the first chapter of James next week. And but today I'm excited about what Andrew shared because of the testimony that he shared, because it's going to kind of lead into what we're going to talk about today as we look through the book of James. Last week we read in James chapter 1 verse 19. It said, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And we looked at that passage very practically, very in depth on the idea of being a good listener, being a slow speaker, and we understood the idea that even a fool seems wise if he keeps his mouth shut, amen? And then we focused in a lot on anger, the issue of anger, which many of us deal with in different capacities in our lives. I had a couple people come see me after the service and say, "Thank you so much for not specifically talking about the anger we feel when we play golf." Apparently, that's the only one we can get away with when we play golf, because, I mean, anyone ever broken a club? Okay, a couple people, repent over here. Anybody ever thrown a club into a lake? A couple people. Sheesh, you guys got problems. Man, anybody ever been so mad you put your buggy in drive and let it drive into the lake? We have friends who saw that happen, but I don't think it was intentional. But today we're going to move on, but I kind of want to marry these two sections together to James chapter 1, verse 21. He says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." This whole passage pulls us into a focus point here of not being what we might call hypocritical Christians, apathetic Christians, pathetic Christians, lazy Christians. The idea being, don't just be people that hear, but people that do. I have small children. Sometimes when I speak to my small children, I'll say, "Have you heard what I said?" And they say, "Yes," while watching the television. "Yes." I'm like, "Look at me, look at me. Pull your," it's like nearly impossible. It's like, I'm trying, but I'm like, "Look at me. Have you heard what I've said?" "Yes, Dad." "Okay, great." And they don't do. You ever experienced that, Jay? I'm sure you have a lot at school. "Hey, do this." "Yes, sir." And they don't do it. I have it with my staff all the time. It's really irritating. "Hey, Pastor Dan, could you do this?" "Yes, Pastor Joel." And he doesn't do it. I mean, pray for me. Okay, pray for me. I'm joking. Pastor Dan's really good. Pastor Aaron, on the other hand, not so good. But but this is the whole idea. But what I want us first to understand is this. When James says earlier, he says, "My beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak." And there's a very practical teaching in that. But there's also contextually the idea that it's saying, let every person be quick to come and hear what's being spoken. And that's what I love about the testimony, is that these guys in Iran don't have the Bible. And so they gather together where they can come together and hear the word of God being spoken. And that's what happened a lot in early Christianity. They didn't have the Bible that we're so blessed to have. They had to rely on the spoken word of truth, And so James is saying, be quick to hear. Come, get under the word of God, because there's something that you need to hear, and don't be quick to speak, meaning those who choose to speak the word, teach the word, preach the word, don't jump in too quick, because there is a higher level of judgment for those that teach the Bible. So pray for me. But this is what James is contextually. He's like, be quick to get to the place where the word is happening. And those who want to speak it and teach it, don't jump in. Timothy, we read, it says, don't lay hands on people too quickly. That's talking about don't release people into a place of leadership and authority in the church too quickly, because there is a huge weight and responsibility that comes for those who step into a position in God's church to be responsible, not for my people, but for God's people. Because although we have the privilege of leading this community, this is not my church, this is God's church. And so we understand here that these guys are gathering in secret environments, house churches, to get into the word of God. And so James says, be quick to hear. Humble yourselves, stop talking, receive what God has for you. Because again, we learned last week, if you only ever want to know what you already know, then you should be the one who's always talking. But if you want to learn something new, humble ourselves, open our hearts to receive the word of God. James then says in verse 21, he says, so therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Very quickly this morning, point number one is this: remove the old. Remove the old way of thinking. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. James says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. The big idea here is this. James is giving an illustration, a picture, to take off the dirty clothes that you might have been wearing based on the desire to never put them back on again. To take off the old, leave it where it was, and to put on the new. Colossians 3, chapter 3 says it really brilliantly. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Version. It says, so kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry. It is on account of these very sins that the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience, those who are obstinately opposed to the divine will, among whom you also once walked when you were living and addicted in such practices. But now put away and rid yourselves completely of all these things: anger, rage, bad feeling towards others, curses and slander, and foul-mouthed abuse and shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old, unregenerate self with its evil practices, and you have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image and likeness of Him who created it. James is saying, put aside your old way of living and get into the new way of living. Take off your old sinful ways, your sinful living, your selfish living. Put aside the idea of being slow to hear because of your pride or distraction. Tame the tongue, don't be brash. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Don't be quick to anger, put it under control. Stop living like the world, because you died to yourself when you died with Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, so why would you be busy walking around in your new life with your old clothes on? Don't do it. Put it aside, James says. Put it away, remove the old. And number two, receive the word. Receive the word. James 1:21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Meekness being an inner humility or patience. It's a humble heart. It's not a weak heart. Meekness is not cowardice. Meekness is not this tame little thing. Meekness is a godly trait. It's an inner humility to be able to receive that which is going to make you better. And James says, put aside the old life and receive the implanted word which is able to save your soul. It's the word of truth. It is the Bible. It is God's word coming alive on the inside of you. Receive the word and allow information to not just be information, but let it become revelation that will produce transformation in you. We cannot just afford to sit here on Sunday mornings and hear the best sermons ever. Thank you, a couple people fishing here for compliments. Words of affirmation, guy, feel free to puff me up afterwards. But don't just hear the word, because that's a blessing, because some people don't even get to hear the word. We're privileged to hear it every week on any radio station, on any YouTube channel, on any social media platform. You have the ability to hear the word, but here we don't want to just hear the word. We want to receive the implanted word. That information would become revelation. That means it becomes more than just something you hear, but an understanding deep within your spirit, within your soul, by the Holy Spirit, that would produce in us life transformation, which is able to save your souls. It's talking not just about your once-off salvation from darkness to light, but the outworking of your salvation, the day-to-day growth in which we're becoming more conformed to the image of Christ. It comes through the word of truth, amen? The Bible says, renew your mind according to the word. Be transformed into His likeness through the renewal of your mind. We renew our minds not through empty-headed meditation, but through filling our hearts, our soul, and our spirit with the truth of the Word of God. Amen? So therefore, put away all filthiness, take off the clothes with no desire or intention to put them back on, step into your new life, and receive with an inner humility the implanted Word, the Word of God, which is able to transform you and save your souls. Number three is, don't just receive the word, but do the word. This is where the rubber hits the road. You can learn all day about being a NASCAR driver. We're in Tennessee, a horse rider. I'm working on it. I'm going to go ride a horse soon. Any horse riders? A couple people? Seems very uncomfortable. But you can hear all day about how to ride a horse. But you got to go get on that horse. I think it's going to feel a little bit different to what it looks like when you see them galloping across the countryside. Feels like the most bliss, incredible moment. All I can picture is the absolute bruising. And you guys call it chafe? That you would receive through having your legs straddled on a beast for hours, up and down, rub, rub. I mean, brutal. I'm sure they're very different experiences, yeah? So James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. Some people are happy about that. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, this is the word of God, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his own doing. I want to read to you a little illustration that somebody wrote to help paint this picture. Let's pretend that you work for me. In fact, you are my executive assistant in a company that is growing rapidly. And I'm the owner, and I'm interested in expanding overseas. To pull this off, I make plans to travel abroad and to stay there until the new branch office gets established. I make all the arrangements to take my family in to move to Europe for 6 to 8 months. And I leave you in charge of the busy stateside organization. I tell you that I will write to you regularly and give you directions and instructions. I leave and you stay. Months pass. A flow of letters are mailed from Europe and received by you at the national headquarters. I spell out all of my expectations. Finally, I return. Soon after my arrival, I drive down to the office. I'm stunned. Grass and weeds have grown up high. A few windows along the street are broken. I walk into the receptionist's room and she's doing her nails, chewing gum, and listening to her favorite country radio station. I'm trying to think of a country song to sing, but we'll save that for Dylan. I look around and notice the waste baskets are overflowing. The carpet hasn't been vacuumed for weeks, and nobody seems concerned that the owner has returned. I ask you your whereabouts, and someone in the crowded lounge area points down the hall and yells, "I think he's down there." Disturbed, I move in that direction and bump into you as you are finishing a chess game with our sales manager. I ask you to step into my office, which has been temporarily turned into a television room for watching afternoon YouTube channels. "What in the world is going on, man?" "What do you mean?" "Well, look at this place. Didn't you get any of my letters?" "Letters? Oh yeah, sure. We got every one of them. As a matter of fact, we have had a letter study every Friday night since you left. We have even divided all the personnel into small groups and discussed many of the things that you wrote. Some of those things were really interesting. You'll be pleased to know that a few of us have actually committed to memory some of your sentences and paragraphs. One or two memorized an entire letter or two. It's great stuff in those letters." "Okay, you got my letters, you studied them and meditated on them, discussed and even memorized them. But what did you do about them?" "Do? We didn't do anything about them." In an organization, if you were left in charge, you would be fired. You had everything you needed sent to you to function according to how the owner had asked you. And not only did you receive it and look at it and put it to the side, you received it, you studied it, you gathered your team and your staff around to understand it, to memorize it, but you did nothing with it. Friends, the hard, cold truth is a Christian who does nothing with the word is not a believer. You cannot hear and not do and pretend to be one of his followers, because followers follow his lead. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet not do the things that what I tell you?" James is saying, don't just be hearers of the word. Receive it in your heart and allow that revelation to transform something on the inside of you, to motivate you to action. Because if you believe in the word of truth, it will change something on the inside of you, and now you have the responsibility to do what it's asking. We cannot afford to be those people that sit back waiting for the good Lord to return while doing nothing that He's asked of us. Because if we do nothing that is asked of us, we'll have people in Iraq not hearing the gospel. We'll have teenagers sitting in their homes where all hell is breaking loose without an opportunity to receive encouragement and life and a life-giving environment to help them on their journey. People will go to hell. Our marriages will be a mess. Our children will be robbed, killed, and destroyed by the violent lion that's looking to devour them. We cannot afford to sit back and just hear what God says through His word. We have to put action to those words. If I want to know all about riding a horse, I can read about it, I can watch YouTube clips about it, but I better go get on a darn horse. I almost said the other word. Quick fact, the reason I almost said the other word is because where I come from, that is not a swear word. That's totally appropriate. So I have to really watch my tongue. I don't know why it's not. It's just not. But we got to be doers of the word. We hear the Bible taught. We read the Bible. We're so privileged. Yet we cannot afford. We've just spent 9 weeks in the book of James and we've learned some really practical things. We have to act on it. A fool is someone who hears something that'll make their life better and say, I'm happy with where I'm at. I don't need it. It's a fool. Jesus comes to us and He tells us in a wonderful parable in Matthew 7 verses 24, He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who has built his house on the rock. So not hearers, but doers of what Jesus commands, that's the wise man. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. The wise man hears what Jesus is saying and does something with it. And when the storms of life come, when tragedy strikes, when whatever comes your way to derail and break you comes, you are considered wise because you're founded on the truth, whose name is Jesus. It's the rock. It's not the word that you heard. It's the word that you did, because the fact that you did it is the proof that you believed it to be His word. Amen? The foolish man hears the word and does nothing. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The worship team can join me. You ever heard in those superhero movies, with great power comes great responsibility? You ever heard that? With great privilege comes great responsibility. In the United States of America, we're privileged. We get to sit here freely. We get to hear the word weekly, if not daily. You can have more Bibles than you know what to do with, sitting in your bedroom, sitting in your office, sitting in every hotel room around the nation. We have the living Word of God at on-demand access at any time. It is the Word that brings life. It is the Word that is able to save your soul. But not just the hearing, but the actioning and doing. We are privileged, and with great privilege comes great responsibility. Don't be a fool, be a wise man. It doesn't mean it's always the easier option, but I promise it's the better option. We have this responsibility. Andrew and Kirsten, they've taken up the call of God on their life to go where nobody wants to go. And do you know what I think's fascinating about them? Is they're not just going as a young couple, they're taking their entire family into a world, into an environment that some of us would never dare even put our minds to think about what's happening because it's too much for us. We have a responsibility. This isn't a guilt trip to say, you need to go to Iraq. This is an encouragement to say, stop being a fool. Don't hear the word every week and reject what it says. Apply it to your life. Does anybody here use soap? Are there any people that are really worried about the chemicals? You read the back, check, make sure it's all good stuff. Great. Whatever. If you look at that soap, pretend it's talking to you. You can read the box. You can think whatever you want about that soap. If you do not put it on your skin, you will stay dirty. Simple. And if you're dirty and you want to be clean and you say, I believe soap can clean me, yet you look at that soap every time you get in the shower and think, I got a better way. It's foolish. It's a lot of different ways to look, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Stop looking for your validation in the world. Stop looking for it in your career. Stop looking for validation in your spouse or in your children because you will be let down. Find it in the Word of God and let the Word of God build you up, renew your mind, transform you into a child of God. Don't be a fool, except if it's being a fool for Christ, because even the foolish for Christ are wiser than the wisdom of this world. With great privilege comes great responsibility. We have it sitting in front of us. Don't be the kind of person that looks in the mirror intently and then you walk away and you think, I can't even remember how good my mustache looks. But look into the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, that brings life and brings freedom. And if you live your life according to that word, you will be a blessed man, the Bible says. Put aside the way of the world. It's not been working. Put it aside. It hasn't fixed your problems. It can bring temporary relief for a moment, but it won't fix it. It'll just intensify it. There's a thief. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have life available to us through the Word of God. But friends, don't just hear it. Do it. Apply it. Doesn't mean you'll get it right every time, but it means you won't be a fool. You'll walk in the wisdom of the Word of God, the creator of the universe, the one who's existed for all eternity, the one who is, the one who was, the one who'll always be and always has been, the wisdom of God, the good God in the universe. He gave us his living word for us to live by. And we sit here and we can hear it. You can study it. You can be like my daughter and have a memory that is incredible and memorize the whole Bible if you want. But information will make you fat. But revelation will stir on the inside of you and produce transformation in you to live and look like Jesus. We can't afford to be fat, lazy Christians filled up with the Word of God, with all this knowledge that puffs up. We got to do something about it. There are people in Iran desperate for a screenshot of Scripture, risking their lives to read it, to live it. And here we are. I'd rather this. Put it aside. Take off the old way of living. Put aside all filthiness and rampant wickedness. And receive with an inner humility the word, the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Amen.